Hare Krishna. Today's Bhagavatam class was interesting in that Srila Prabhupada brought up quite a mystical point in his purport. This is seventh canto, glorification of Prahlad Maharaj, and the verse said that Prahlad Maharaj has the wonderful divine qualities similar to that of the Supreme Lord. And I say Prabhupada spoke about the mystical thing, and that Prabhupada started talking about Prahlad Maharaj being in different places, Sutala Loka, Vaikuntha, and if I remember well, he's also in Jambudvip, on the Varshas. And he was worshipping Lord Nrisimhadev. So the topic of the class was about what it is that that enables us to actually free ourselves from the limitations of the material energy and get into the apparently unlimited potency that's available on the spiritual realm. Of course, it's not as unlimited as Krishna is unlimited, and Prabhupada makes that point twice in the purport. But nonetheless, it's unlimited or unrestricted in the sense that there's no material restriction, and by Krishna's will, more or less anything could take place. And basically, there's a principle, I give it, this is Tadatma, where you become one with that thing upon which you meditate. What you identify with, you take on the qualities. Karanam guna sangha asya sarasa troni janmashu. And it's a very interesting philosophical point which is raised in by Parikshit Maharaj to Shukadev Goswami, because he's also puzzled how it is that a transcendental living entity becomes acts non-transcendentally. In other words, the soul is transcendental to matter, and yet how is it that he's materially conditioned? Matter is an inferior thing to spirit. So how does spirit then at all become conditioned? How does a superior thing come under the control of an inferior thing? And Shukadeva Goswami answers that it's by the will of the living entity. The living entity embraces the material nature. And Jagannanda Pandit calls it Krishna Bahirmukha, turning away from Krishna. We're very small, regardless of where we are, whether we're in Goloka or whether we're in the material world. We're very small creatures, and so we need to identify. We need to identify. Of course, everyone has to have an identity, and either our identity is self-defined, and that's because we're large or powerful, or it's an identity that we adopt based on what we see, hear, smell, touch, think, and so on. And that's the case of the small conditioned living entities, is that especially with what we think. I mean, we identify with what we see, but in one sense we can be a little more objective in terms of the information that our senses give. But when it comes to the mind, although the mind is just another sense, but nonetheless, whatever our mind thinks, we really identify with that. And so we identify with this body, we identify with this world, we identify with our country, family, gender, so many other things, but actually we're none of those. It's all a misconception. But still, because of our tiny nature, that's how we work. Krishna, wherever he is, whatever he's doing, his environment doesn't influence his identity. His because he's Swara. He's independent. He's independent of those type of external influences. He doesn't embrace those external influences. So Krishna consciousness is just that. It's a matter of changing your consciousness. When we're conscious of matter, then all of a sudden we become under the influence of matter, or we place ourselves under the influence of matter. And in the same way, when we become conscious of Krishna, then we come under Krishna's influence, and that's called being Krishna conscious. When we identify with matter, then we limit ourselves, we take on the limitations of matter. But the same limitations aren't there when someone's Krishna conscious. And so, really, as Prabhupada would always say, that it's very easy being Krishna conscious. You just do the same thing you do in the material world, but you just identify with Krishna instead of identifying with something which causes pain, which causes strife, from which there doesn't seem to be any kind of release, and yet people just continue as if nunam kamatam kurute vikarma yat pritaya indriya apniroti nasadu manye. They just continue on like that, despite the fact that it's a dead end street. So turning back to Krishna, that's really what Krishna consciousness means. And all it really requires is to change our consciousness. And when we change our consciousness, then we'll see that, well, things are the way they are. In other words, the material world isn't unreal. But there's more. There's more to the material world than we see. Demigods see more to the material world than we see. And there's more beyond the material world than what we see, what transcendentalists also see. But for that, we have to be willing to embrace the identity of being Krishna's servant. If we do that, then everything becomes very, very easy. That's why Prabhupada said, it's easy to be Krishna conscious. You can be Krishna conscious in a minute if you want to. And it's the wanting that's the problem. And so devotees often say, well, he says, all you have to do is just surrender to Krishna, and that's it. Well, I surrendered to Krishna, but it's not it. But it is. Sakri deva prapano yasta vasma tita yachate. So what Ramachandra says, from the moment that someone says, I'm yours, I take charge of that person, and he becomes fearless. But saying I'm yours doesn't mean just saying words. It means feeling that I'm yours, and actually having that level of surrender. And when we do, then Krishna takes charge. If we're not surrendered, if we're not giving ourselves over to him, then how can he take charge? Okay. Take away our free will. So changing our desire, purifying our heart, becoming free from all these false ideas of happiness, and just accepting Krishna's formula, Mame Kam Sharanam. This is the only thing you have to do. You just surrender to me, and you don't worry about anything else. So cleansing, purifying our consciousness, it's Krishna consciousness. We become conscious of Krishna, and all of a sudden, all of the transcendental potencies that are there in Krishna become manifest in us according to the extent or degree that they do become manifest in living entities. So, but obviously it doesn't appear like it is happening in a moment, even though it can happen in a moment. But at least if we stick to the process of gradually turning away from Maya and turning to Krishna. And that empowerment comes by good spiritual practices. And part of that comes from hearing, just like this verse said. Since long ago, saintly persons have heard about the qualities of Prahlad Maharaj. Now that was 5,000 years ago. Narada Muni was saying that to Yudhisthira Maharaj. So another 5,000 years have gone by. And while hearing about Prahlad Maharaj, and by hearing about such great personalities who can be in multiple places at once, although of course that's not the attractive feature, but rather their character, their surrender is the attractive feature, then we also turn away from Maya and we turn to Krishna. And when we fully turn to Krishna, then that's called Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada uses the term to be a devotee or Krishna consciousness many times in his books. Often we identify with Prabhupada's terminology with our present state. I'm Krishna conscious. No, Krishna conscious means when you're fully Krishna conscious, when you're conscious only of Krishna, when you identify only with Krishna, and you have no identity with this material world. It's Krishna's energy, that's fine. But not my place, not my home, these people, not my family. The only reality is chanting Hare Krishna and Vaishnavas, other people who are also just conscious of Krishna, because obviously if I'm conscious of Krishna, someone else is conscious of Krishna, then we're also going to be conscious of each other. But otherwise, all other types of relationship are just different stages of unconsciousness. Unconscious. This is really being conscious. Hare Krishna.